Well, thank you, brother. Warm word of welcome, and it's good to be here with you again in Coleraine. I always look forward to coming up to Coleraine and renewing fellowship with the saints of God in this place. And I enjoy coming in deputation as well, because it's my opportunity, as I say in all my deputation meetings, to thank the people who, under God, have sustained all of myself in the work of God. We started under the mission board way back in 1987, and so that's us coming up into 35 years. And whilst we give God all the glory, we also have, I believe, a responsibility and a joyful one of thanking under God all those who have supported us, sometimes very generously indeed, and it's that that keeps us on the mission field. And also for prayerful support, that's important as well. We labour not, it says, or we fight not only labour not, but we fight not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And we were singing that in that opening hymn, were we not a little bit, I love that old hymn by Wesley, where at the name of Jesus, devils fear and fly. And of course, the devil's very active. As we're sowing the good seed, the first person we read about in that parable after the sower sowing the seed was the evil one who came and took away the good seed. So thank you for your prayers and your support. I want to do two things tonight. I want to give you a little update in the work of God since I was last here, and then also to bring the word, and I hope the word will encourage us. I want to go back to March 2020. Okay, so we're going back 2 years, and around this time, 2 years ago, we were going into what was a 2 week period to flatten the curve. Do you remember that? 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and that was with the COVID. And that had, of course, in many ways changed a lot of things, and it certainly had an effect on the work of God. Immediately, you might remember how the churches weren't able to meet. And at that time, the mission board, as far as its home missionaries were concerned, and there's about six of us here in the island of Ireland, we were put on the furlough for 3 months while the churches were closed. Now, I've often said, at that point, I didn't take out a subscription on Netflix or anything like that to try and get me through the day. I had plenty to do at home. I was able to catch up with a lot of reading and so on. But really, those months did tend to drag in a little bit. But do you remember how we came into the summer then of 2020? And a lot of the restrictions got lifted. And it enabled me to go back to the Irish Republic again. At one time during the pandemic, it would have been illegal for me to have crossed the border. My natural point of entry into the south of Ireland would be there at Auchnacloy. And there's a big road check somewhere by Amyville, the next village up. And had I not a good reason to be there, then I could have been fined, I think it was something like €200. So that kept me out of the Irish Republic. But in the summer months, there seemed to be a big easing off the restrictions, and I was able to go back again down to my usual haunts. And that would be down to Dublin, where I would preach the word of God with several other believers from the Dublin area, good men, reformed men, and then also to Knock Shrine, where not so much for open-air preaching, just wouldn't be tolerated there at all, but to have the little bit of a literature ministry down there. And for a number of years, I've had a little camper van. It was purchased for the work in 2010, It was finally scrapped there at the beginning of the year, in January, at the end of January. We got an extra year out of COVID because of the MOT got put back twice for 6 months. So that gave us an extra year, and we were thankful for that. The mission board have since replaced that little van, and now I have a Ford Tourneo, and I'll be using it for the same type of work again come the summer, God willing. Again, then we come out of the summer 2020 and we were going in again to the restrictions. I wasn't able to cross the border. That's when Noel Shields rang me up. Noel was in a similar situation to myself. He had been furloughed in the early part as a home missionary. And he wasn't able to get into the Orange Halls to do the gospel missions. Into any hall, in fact, into the schools, into the halls, churches, again, big restrictions and so on. So he suggested to me, since we were both had experience in open-air preaching, he had done a bit of it in Lewis when he was there up in Scotland. I had preached regularly in Cork and so on, that maybe we could meet up and we would go round a lot of the different towns. If the shops were open, people were in the streets, well then we would have an open-air meeting. And that's what we did, and that's really still what we're doing at the moment. And we've been round quite a number of the towns, Portadown, Lurgan, Banbridge, Macrafelt, Cookstown, Oma, Newtownards, Bangor, Belfast City Centre there at Corn Market and so on, John Knox Church and the Shanko Road. We have had a good time preaching the Word of God. We come into the summer then. Sorry, I've touched on that. We had the autumn. We went right through to into the winter. And then again, there was the partial lockdown where you weren't encouraged out onto the streets at all. So that kept us indoors just a little bit. But when we come to the summer, Noel and I parted company just for a little while. He had things to do around his end of the world. I was able to get back again over the border and to witness there down at Knock. Now, just before that, we managed to get arranged some drive-in missions. And this was ideal because you had the big church car park or wherever we could get in. And people sat in their cars, no social mixing together, anything like that. And we had a number of these drive-in missions. And it's good to be able to report that there were souls saved through the drive-in missions. We had a good mission in Moneyslane. Initially we went for a week. We were asked would we stay another week, always a good sign. It's one thing to organise a two-week mission. It's another thing to have it for a week and then be asked to go the second week. And there were two souls saved there. And then we had another drive-in mission in Hillsborough. And on the last night of the mission, there was a young man and his unsaved girlfriend came in with him. He was brought up in a Christian home, but he had not professed faith in the Lord Jesus. He was in the last night, and he was greatly moved that night. The ball, as his follower told me later on, began to roll. That young man has since got saved. His girlfriend, who was expecting, she has got saved as well. And they got married, I suppose it must be about 6 weeks ago. So the Lord has certainly made a great change in their lives. So we've had a number of drive-in missions, and we have now some missions indoors lined up. We were in Limavady there just before Christmas. Limavady, as you know, is a small congregation, but with about 30 in every night, including unsaved. Unsaved not only coming in, but coming back in again, for which we thank God. And there's a number of missions lined up at the moment. This morning I started off in Newcastle, staying over with Noel. He lives in Annalong. We're knocking doors this week in Newcastle, there in County Down. So we're going round all the doors, as many as we can. It's a big town, inviting people to a two-week mission that starts on the Lord's Day and in the primary school. So we're looking forward to that. Newcastle will be largely a Roman Catholic town, although we've been well received in the doors. And we're just praying much that as the Word of God is sounded out, you know, what can you do? You just get your pulpit up, you get your lights on, your doors open, your invites out, your prayer offered up to God. We're always conscious that except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. So we're looking forward to these missions, looking forward again, God willing, to the summer coming in. We're going to have the turn in the nights. We lose our hour in bed again, don't we, that we enjoyed in the winter months. When that comes in, the late nights are in again. Hopefully the warmer weather will come as well. So please be assured the Word of God is being sounded out. It has been sounded out, and between the open ears and also between the knock on the doors for gospel missions, the missions themselves, every effort has been made. As the hymn writer said, oh, that the world would taste and see the riches of his grace. So once again, thank you for your support. Attention has already been drawn to the prayer card. I've got a whole new batch of them. It's not a new prayer card as such, it's just a whole new batch of them again. We're running short, and I haven't really changed that much in 4 years. Okay, so I've just left the old photograph on it there. And if you have one, well, you have one. If you haven't, take one. First and foremost, a prayer card. But if you want to support us, Lord leads you to support us on a monthly basis, well, then I'm sure you know by now what to do. You fill that in and you send that to Glenda in the Mission Board office. Your support is certainly greatly appreciated. Now, turn, please, in God's Word to Acts chapter 16. The Acts chapter 16. A very dramatic chapter in the Word of God. We're just going to read 3 verses tonight. From the verse 16, we're going to read down to the verse 18. Acts 16, please. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. We sang that, didn't we? Jesus, the name high over all. Not right, hell or earth or sky. Angels and men before him fall. Verse 18, devils fear and fly. Let's seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness towards us today. You've met our every need. We can say today every need he is supplying, and plenteous grace he bestows. We need your help now for the preaching of the word. The arm of flesh, Lord, will surely fail. And we dare not trust our own, but we can trust in the living God. He hath richly given unto us all things that we might enjoy. We need your power granted to us. Have a word for each and every heart. Meet every need. We think of that scripture that says of how the word of the Lord was present to heal. And may we feel the power of your word. May we respond to the word tonight, saying in our hearts, Lord, here am I. Send me, send me. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the words of verse 17 right there in the middle of the verse. The words that are spoken. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men, note these words, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You might wonder tonight, having looked at the context of the verse, why we are turning to the testimony of a demon-possessed girl. And this girl was demon-possessed. She had a spirit of divination. She was able, to some extent, to foretell the future. And then in verse 18, the spirit that was in her, being a wicked spirit, was commanded to come out. Why are we turning to the testimony of a girl like this? Especially when it says also that Paul, though it was after several days, many days being grieved, commanded the spirit to come out of her. Why are we turning to this woman's words tonight? Well, that's easy answered. Easy answered. She said nothing that wasn't true. And the grief that Paul expressed was not at what she said, but the reason why she said it. There must have been mischief there. There was something there that grieved the heart of Paul that he finally spoke and rebuked the Spirit. Paul himself later testified, you remember in the great shipwreck, Acts 27, of his own relationship with Christ. And he said concerning the Savior, words very similar, whose I am and whom I serve. So there's no conflict with the contents of her testimony. An angel of God could have come down from heaven and spoke the exact same words. But the actual words that he uses, of course, are very exciting words. I was in a prayer meeting in my home church, and somebody mentioned this in prayer, quoted these words, and they gripped me just as he was quoting them. And I thought to myself, well, these will be great words, would they not, for the deputation meeting. These men are servants of the Most High God. They show unto us the way of salvation. With three main thoughts tonight. First of all, number one, we want to ask three questions. And the first is this. Number one, how high is the Most High God? How high is the Most High God? And of course, he is supremely high, isn't he? He is the highest of the high. He is King of Kings. And he is Lord of Lords. Often when I preach, whether it's in the gospel, or whether it's to believers on the Lord's Day morning, I exhort my hearers to entertain only the highest views of God. Mr. Tozer, A.W. Tozer, name well known, was a fundamentalist preacher around the 1950s in America. And Tozer spoke of some evangelists whom he had heard preaching. And the sad thing about this is that these men would have been fundamental men. He wasn't talking about liberals. He was talking about men in fundamental churches. And he said these evangelists are setting forth a God whom I cannot respect. A God whom I cannot respect. And he said words that to the effect that he had no desire to spend eternity with a God whom he could not respect on earth. He said, I haven't enough courage to say I would rather be in hell. Well, nobody's ever going to say that, of course. But he says, sometimes I could wish, if these men are true in what they're saying, that there was a kind of limbo to which I could go and not spend eternity with those whom he called the teddy bear gods of modern evangelism. That's a very cutting remark, isn't it? A very decisive remark, but it was what he felt. Well, the teddy bear gods, often of modern evangelism, is not our God, because our God is the Most High God, and he is most high in all his attributes. He's most high, for example, in his power. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth and all that is within. The Bible says he did so by the breath of his mouth. He spake and it was done. That there be light and there was light, just by the very power of his word. And not only does he that he create the world, but he sustains it day and daily. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. And there's none can stay his hand. And there's none can say unto him, what doest thou? I was very interested to read during the week after Putin moved into the Ukraine. And he's doing all kinds of havoc there, as we know. But somebody put up on Twitter the comments of Martin Lloyd-Jones. And Martin Lloyd-Jones, of course, lived in a different age. He lived through the days of Adolf Hitler. In fact, he began his ministry in London in 1938, just as the war clouds were starting to gather and Hitler again running riot or preparing to run riot all over Europe. And Martin Lloyd-Jones says, I never worried about Adolf Hitler for 1 minute. I just read Psalm 37. Psalm 37 starts with the words, what? Fret not thyself because of evildoers. And we need to remember that our God tonight is the Most High God in his power. He laughs at his enemies. When all the kings of the earth all come together, when Putin and his forces will find perhaps affinity with NATO and all the forces there in America and Britain and what have you, and they all rise up to throw off the yoke of God, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Bible says he sends his main contender for his crown, that is the devil himself. For the devil's called the god of this world. And the Bible says that one day he will be banished to the lake of fire, and he will be tormented day and night forever and forever. We have a little sample of that in the passage that we have taken. This one demon, one out of perhaps millions of them, banished in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes, he is the Most High God in his power. He is Most High in his love. His love, of course, is unsurpassable. There are many acts of human love. The love that a man has for his wife is a very deep love. That the father has for his children is a deep love. That a man might have towards his neighbor is a deep love, even for his enemy. The Good Samaritan coming to mind. But there is no love, as we often sing. There is no love like the love of Jesus. Oh, what love there is, love unmeasured, boundless, free. He loves us with an everlasting love. It's not a tremendous thing, loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know, loved unto the very end, unto the very depths, unto the very borders, as it were. Wherever we are, nothing can separate us from the love of God. The love of God that sent Christ to the cross to bear away our sins. Most High in His grace. And this is the application of redemption, isn't it? We have redemption accomplished in the Lord Jesus, but it needs to be applied. And that's the grace of God, totally sovereign grace in its bestowal. Not extended saving grace to all men, and that all were not yet saved. But the grace of God hath come. If you're a believer tonight, you can say, why was I made to hear thy voice? And enter while there's room. Thousands make a wretched choice, would rather starve than come. 'Twas the same love that made the feast. It sweetly drew me in, else I had still refused to taste and perished in my doom. And when you came to him, he drew you. He drew you. And he put you into the family, didn't he? And tonight you have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. That's your adoption into the family of God. Oh, what grace, Most High in his glory. We sing those words, do we not? Worship the King, all glorious above. You know, the Bible says one star differs from another star in glory. And the most glorious of all the stars in our universe is the sun, the S-U-N in the sky. And yet those that have studied the sun tell us that it has its dark spots, its blemishes. But the Lord our God is without any blemish. All glorious above. That's what Isaiah meant. I'm sure old Tozer had to go on to hear Isaiah preach. He would have been very happy. Because Isaiah set forth God in all his glory and said, behold your God. That's why I say, let's have high views of God. Worship the Lord, all glorious above. But having looked to see how high is our God, then I think we should go in the opposite direction here and look secondly and see how small are the servants of the Most High God. How small. And I'm basing that on these words that this girl spoke, true words. These men. Now, humanly speaking, We might be great admirers to these men, attracted to them in that sense of the word. You think of Paul. Paul was a mighty intellect. You've only to read his writings. Yes, given by inspiration, I grant you that. But you would know that he was a man of great intellect. Even his enemies in Corinth. And he was in favor of the month with many of them in Corinth. They confessed, probably through gritted teeth, but still they confessed that his letters were weighty and powerful. You ever sit down with a good book and the words are weighty and powerful and you're drawn into that book? That's the way it was with Paul's letters. He felt compelled to read them. Mighty intellectual man. And who could not? The writer of these great epistles and so on, but there's cathedrals all over the world, in all the major cities of the world, with any kind of Christian influence at all. Cathedrals are named in honor of this man, Paul. Look at Silas, who's with him. Well, somewhat in his shadow, we would have to say. And yet we read of Silas, he was called a prophet. He's one of the chief men among the brethren. And who could not but admire these men who, in verse 25, it says there, at midnight, Paul and Silas, and they've been whipped at this stage. They've got into trouble. They're in prison. They're in an inner prison. Their feet is fast in the stocks. Their back is lashed. And at midnight, they prayed. And not only did they pray, but they sang praises unto God. And oh, that stirs us tonight. Who could not but admire men like this? And yet, here's the point. They are but men. Man in his chief state, the Bible says, in his best state, is altogether vanity. Abraham, the father of the faithful, Paul's hero, Abraham stood before God. What a mighty thing he did. He's negotiating for Sodom. Had he found 10 men, he could have had that city saved and given further chance to repent. But Abraham, standing before God, he confessed himself to be but dust and ashes. He was just a man and he knew it. We asked the question tonight, how small? We ask that for a good reason, because Christianity does not need great men to succeed. Yes, I have already talked up what Paul could do. And to Paul's name, you could add the names of our great men, Augustine, perhaps the greatest of all the church fathers, Martin Luther, what a mind Luther had, John Calvin, what a great mind Calvin had, Edwards, great men in America, great brains, what mighty men they were. But that's not our main argument tonight. You see, it's not the greatness of the advocates that draws us. Once again, we have to go back to the Lord. It's the greatness of our God. The greatness of our God. And in 1 Corinthians 1, it says how God takes the weak things of the world, the dust and the ashes, the ones who have to confess and say that without him I can do nothing. You remember the Corinthians again, they all elevated their favorite preachers. Church was riven with division. There were those who says, I am of Paul. There were others who took a shine to Apollos. They probably sat on the other side of the church. There were those who says, well, I just follow Jesus. I get the impression there, well, those people sounds good. They're sort of in there a wee bit with a rebuke. Maybe they were hyper-spiritual. I don't know. But anyway, the whole church was riven. And Paul says, who are these men? These ministers, ordained men. Worthy of double honor. Who are these men by whom ye believe? These ministers, he says, they're nothing. That is, they are nothing compared with God. Oh, what grace that God would take us and call us his servants. The Most High, the sovereign God of heaven. The angels worship him. The angels who the ones that never fail, never sin, cover their faces in his presence. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, deigns to use us for his glory. Are you small enough tonight for God to use? Can you say like David, Psalm 22, and David wrote it first, he says, I am a worm and no man. Those are good words. Because in another context it says, and God prepared a worm. How small were the servants of the Most High God. Thirdly and lastly, very quickly here, how, number three, another question. How is the Most High God best served? By his small servants. Let's go back to this girl again. What does she say? These men, these mere men, are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And Acts 16 is full of conversions. They start off with that woman Lydia, a well-to-do woman, very tranquil scene at the riverside, near a place where prayer was wont to be made, place sanctified by prayer. Few women would meet together, no synagogue. So Paul goes down. The Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart first. It was then she attended on to the things spoken by Paul. It was then that they took root. It was then that faith was produced after God opened her heart. And then we move here into this passage with this girl getting converted and saved. And then the Philippian jailer and his household getting converted and saved. The whole context shows the servants serving the Lord by showing the way of salvation. And how did they do that? Well, no doubt there was the objective truths. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Buried, raised again the third day according to the scriptures. Making peace by the blood of his cross. That's what Paul was preaching. God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. But then he gave the subjective way of salvation, didn't he? The sinner saying, well, what must I do to be saved? And Paul standing there saying, repent, repent, and believe the gospel. Very important exhortation, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Newcastle today, Noel has his tracts. He's fond of those little tracts of the Every Home Crusade. Bishop Ryle, I like the Trinitarian tracts. He's right and I'm right. We're not at war one way or just our own preferences. And there's a whole series of the Trinitarian ones, just Bible verses. And about 50 off them the day, little packet, just lifted at random out of my bag. Repentance towards God. And you know, sometimes you think, if I put this through doors, it's going to put sinners off. There's another set called the Law of God. And there's this little verse that says, you put them through doors, you're going to put sinners off. Put the ones in the love of God through. That's no matter what they are. They're going through the door. It's the word of God. And repentance is something that we need to keep in this wicked age. Because Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I think that's how Tozer lamented the little teddy bear gods. They had reduced the message down to where you're almost feeling sorry for God. We need, as it were, to get God back into the center place again. Repentance towards God. That's what this man preached. And just as God called Paul and Silas to serve God by sharing the gospel message, if you are a child of God tonight, that's your responsibility as well. You believed with your heart. Help me day, fix my choice, thee my Saviour and my God. We gave him our heart, as it were, wicked, sinful old heart, and said, Lord, take my life, take my heart, make me a new creature. We give him our hearts, but we confess him with our mouth. And it's good to be just a witness for the Lord Jesus. You maybe can't stand on a door. I'm not particularly good at door-to-door work. Noel's brilliant at it. I'm not that. It's not my forte. I like the open-air preaching. I like the pulpit preaching. But I do the doors. And I hand it in. That's why I make sure of good tracks. If you're going to do track work, make sure they're good tracks. Because that's only your contact with the people. And you make sure they're good. Get the best you can. Workman comes into your home. I was at the training centre, the training weekend there, talking to the young people. And I got this magnificent, great thing, my experiences in evangelism and what they could learn from it. And I'm saying, I'm not the man for this, because I'm not Nicholson or anything like that. But I made the point, You know, if I had to do work in my house, you know, if I need tools, I go to Poundland, you know. If I can get it in Poundland, absolutely brilliant. And if it's anything more than about £2, you're not getting it in Poundland anymore. You go to B&M, not right. You get a saw for a fiver. But see, when you bring somebody into your home, they're starting to build a cupboard for you. Those boys aren't working away with saws at a fiver. They're away down into the deer shop, aren't they? You could be throwing out £25, £30. Maybe I'm living still in the 1990s saying that, I don't know. But those men know what they're doing. They want the best. And if you're going to witness for the Lord while you're full-time in the work, or while you're, I don't even want to use the phrase, just a Christian. If you're a Christian, you make sure you get good tracts and pass them on. And a word fitly spoken, best words, the Bible says, are like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Commentators are not sure what that means, but if you see gold and silver, you see something that's precious. Again, a word in season. The wise man said, oh, how good it is. He was really enthusiastic about it. That's what the Lord has called us all to do. And to support one another in the doing of it. Don't forget, there's many a time I sit in the pew as well. In Bethel Church, missionaries come. And that's my chance to support them. We can't all go into the world, knock everybody's door. But we can support those who go where we can't go. And don't forget, they can't go where you can go. Be a servant of the Most High God. And speak on to the people the way of salvation. Eternity. Eternity will reveal the worth of that work. May the Lord bless these words. They all hurt. Brother, I give it back to you again.